Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Join us today. Hello to the Christian Television Network audience out there. Join us is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
You're created for a purpose, a destiny in God. And we're going to talk about three things: peace, power, and purpose. And want to join with me as I was sharing sharing at a particular night about created for a purpose. Listen up.
I don't know what it is, but it just seems to be rapidly moving. And so you got to have peace. The very first thing, you got to have peace. Listen, if you got purpose and you got power, first of all, peace is that inner peace that you need, that you're calm no matter what. Power is strength. You need to have energy. So often the church has put aside energy. You know, I'm just going to lollydaw my way. No, it takes energy. Ministry is hard. Ministry takes a lot of effort. To move in your purpose, it takes sweat. It takes diligence. It takes, and everybody misses the idea even of ministry, where when they went into the tabernacle and the Levitical priesthood, most of the time we're doing physical things, you know, cutting wood, setting fires, cleaning out the stuff, cutting necks, pulling skin, draining blood. I mean, it was just physical labor, and it wasn't just one area at one time when the glory of God would manifest at that particular point. And some people say, well, just let me know when, you know, Jehovah shows up, his presence is manifested, then I'll come. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why the harvest is plentiful and the workers are what? Few. And so the first thing is peace. You got to have peace before you start your day. This is a daily thing. Don't ever start your day without peace, because it's going to be a basket case. I don't care how defined your purpose is. I don't care how much power you got. If you don't have peace, it's going to be pathetic. Probably by 9 o'clock, you're going to wish you could crawl back in bed and wish it never started. But there's something about peace. What does that mean? That means you got to get with God. He says that daily, he says, give us our daily bread. That's not like the natural bread. That's actually bread of God's presence. Just talking to him. Communing with God. Meditating on the word of God. Just meditating. Don't force you. I got to read 7.2 chapters. Just read a word and meditate on it. Listen to what God's saying. Take the pressure off. That's religious work. And then he says in Hebrews 4:14, he says, we are to approach him. And if we're praying daily, then we're supposed to approach him daily with boldness. Every single day we need grace and we need mercy. Well, you know, he says that we can approach God in our time of need in Hebrews 4:14 and 15. Listen, if you're really in tune with your purpose is always bigger than you are, which relates you to the mercy and grace of God. Somebody asked me, says, how in the world could you ever jump out of a plane at 10,000 feet? You don't understand. Everything I do in ministry is just like that. It's not a big deal. It's exactly what it feels like. Every time I say to a city that this is about to happen, you got to understand, it's only a spoken word. Nothing's manifested yet. Our budget was always zero every time we say that. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not running up to you and saying, let's go for it. It literally is just like that to me. And if you want to begin to move in your purpose, you're going to have peace no matter what you face. No matter what you face. And aren't you so tired of fear holding you back? Still in your peace? All the enemy's got to do is just stir a little fire up in your life, and next thing you know, you're pacing the floor, biting your fingernails and your toenails and calling somebody else to bite theirs because you ain't got nothing left. I'm telling you, it's just time. You know, it really is so sad, because when you read about the vision of Rick Joyner in the book Final Quest, which is part 3 is out now, I understand. And he said it just took a couple soldiers of fear, demonic soldiers of fear, to hold back thousands of believers. And when you're on the front lines, we were talking today about Elijah and how, you know, Elijah said, I'm the only prophet, but he said he had 300 of them, 150 put in this cave and 150 put in that cave. But the truth was, they was in a cave. I'm with your brother. Yeah, but you're not out here fighting with me. You're not on the front line. You know what I mean? So he was alone. They was in a cave. And so when you start stepping out in your purpose, because it's bigger than you, it will feel like you're jumping out of a plane, skydiving at 10,000 feet every single time. Every day, every decision, everything that you make, because it doesn't make any sense in your own mind what you're doing. It's totally illogical. If you thought about it for a second, you'd quit. But you got to have peace to do that. aren't you tired of fear? I got a message just some time back that I talked about fear. Yeah, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it just grabbing believers. I'm tired of it even whispering in my ear. I'm just tired of it. It's time for us to believe. It's all it is. If fear is the opposite of faith. Oh, I don't have any fear. I just dread. Dread is the definition of fear. That is fear. Dreading tomorrow, regretting yesterday. That's just living in constant fear. If you have that inner peace, I'm telling you how to fulfill your destiny, your purpose in life. If you have that inner peace, you'll do anything. It doesn't matter. Because nothing on the outside is going to change you. It just it's not going to change you. You're not worried about man's opinion or anything. You're just doing because God's called you to do something. Actually, so every single day, the first thing you have to do is a building block for that day. Before you start anything, people said, you know, read a couple scriptures before you start your day. No, I'm telling you this. You stay with God till you get peace. Because you're going to need peace for your purpose. Or you can go out, what most people do, and be like a shotgun shooting off anywhere with no aim at all. Now, if you'll spend your time aiming, you might get one or two shots off that day, but you're going to hit your target. Most people just shoot anywhere. Aren't you tired of all that? I get around people that are so hectic, like, oh, it's like, I got to go, that spirit, I got to go. That hecticness, you know, that real... I can feel it. It's like almost like a vibrating, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's like, get peace in your life. You got to have peace in your life. Amen? So the very first thing on your foundation, this is very simple, very important, that somebody says, well, how long do you spend with God? Until you get peace. Until you get peace. But listen, if you show up to work with an attitude like that, you ain't going to have work. But my job, you ain't going to have a job if you show up with that kind of spirit on you. You need to get with God and change your mindsets and realize that you got God's with you no matter what happens out there. Well, I got to go spend some time with my family. Listen, your family probably don't want to even see you until you get some peace in your life. I'm telling you, it's amazing. If you'll just get peace in your life before you go spend time with your family, that's one of your purposes in your life, then it's amazing how they enjoy being with you. So the very first thing is that before you start your day, get peace. Get that inner peace, that settling, that calmness in your spirit. Because the second you step out of that, wherever you are, something's going to hit you, bam, like that. The second thing you got to have is power. I've never seen it so unemphasized in the church before. People say, well, you know, exercise profited very little. But let me tell you something. When you're out there and you're working hard in your purpose, maybe you're a business person or in the ministry, it takes physical exertion to bring that thing to pass. I mean, it takes a tenacity and a willingness to be able to sit there or stand there or whatever it is. It just takes a lot of energy, physical exertion to be able to do that. And there's nothing like physical stress on the body in regards to the anointing. When the anointing drops on you, it's like your body, the Lord just takes over your body, and it's like my body doesn't normally do this. So when the anointing goes, if you're not physically fit for that anointing, it could crush you. Many people feel when they get tired, they get weak or get sick, they just stop moving in their purpose or their ministry. Yet the Word of God says to worship God with all of our strength. All of our strength. Everybody said it takes energy. 2 Kings 19:3 says, this is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the point of birth and there's no strength to deliver them. There's no strength to deliver them. So often, because people misunderstood that God uses clay vessels, energy, our muscles, our strength, our ability to do things, that some people stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning doing just whatever instead of sitting there getting some rest in their body. They don't invest anything in their body to be able to strengthen it, make it stronger. God will call you to do things that your body just can't handle unless you strengthen it. And it literally is almost like a hammer beating your body every single day if you don't build something up in your body. Does that make sense? You know, we sit there and we can eat 10,000 sweets and 10,000 salty products and all these different things like that. And all of a sudden, we pay the consequences physically for doing that. We pay the consequences for doing that. And so you have to prepare yourself. I know that if I'm going to go minister somewhere, I'll watch what I eat before I minister because it will take me down. That'll just drop off like a like a dead rock almost, some of the things that you could eat. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong. Everybody say that. Isn't that interesting? He said, be strong. Not just be courageous, but be strong. What does that mean? That means it's going to take some energy to do the will of God. It's going to take some strength. You know, we need to get a mindset again. And I'm getting this mindset myself. I'm saying, Lord, I've got to do something with my body. If I'm going to do what you've called me to do, something's got to happen with my body. I've got to get stronger. I've got to begin to focus on that. It's got to be one of my foundational things in my life that's going to bring to pass the destiny of God in my life. So often, you know, from a Pentecostal standpoint or charismatic standpoint, we just think God's going to drop something in our lap. Listen, it would kill us if he drops it in some of our laps. Oh, I'm worn out. What'd you do? I sat in that chair all day long. My back's killing me. We got to have strength. And what's that mean? If you're fixing to go to boot camp, let me tell you what I did. When I was fixing to go to boot camp in the military, I started rehearsing things. You know what I'm saying? I was going to run a little bit, cut my hair a little bit shorter, at least trying to fit in a little bit, you know. Well, if you believe that God's about to do something in your life and you believe he's using you, you believe you got destiny and purpose, you're going to begin to prepare yourself. You really are. It's amazing. You know, some people, they don't prepare their bodies. You can pray for 10 more people, but you couldn't pray for those 10 because you were physically worn out by the time you got there. It takes strength to move in your purpose. Yeah, the Word of God says the Lord is our strength. The Lord is the strength of his people, but he gives us wisdom to be able to maintain it. It makes a difference. The older you get, you realize that it does matter what you eat. Lord, I can eat the wrong thing and I knock somebody's head off. That's not a good thing. I don't eat salt meat anymore. That's not a good thing at all. I was sitting there, ate at a men's breakfast years ago, and it was just wonderful. Oscar's restaurant had this wonderful piece of fried salt meat. I was like, oh, this is so good. Then it started going to the pores of my body and the nervous system, thinking, I look like I was possessed. Okay, I'm going to kill somebody. I just feel this, and I think, my goodness. It made a difference what I was putting into my body. I had to make a choice. Am I going to put that in my body? Because it's going to stop my ability to bear fruit, to be able to do what I'm called to do. And everybody at the table agreed that I shouldn't do that anymore. What? The Word of God tells us in Luke 10:27, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your strength. With all of your strength. Listen, there's some big purposes that are in your life, and the enemy's stealing them because you're not focusing on these first two things I'm talking about, getting some peace in your life and refusing to step outside that prayer closet or that room that you're all by yourself until you step out, that you refuse to step out until you get that peace in your life, and realizing it's going to take some power, not just Holy Ghost power. It's going to take some power from your biceps, your triceps, your back muscles, your brain, all that stuff. It's going to take some of that to do it. I don't know why God uses these vessels, but he does. The powerful move of God was stopped. The Welsh revivalists. The move of God was stopped because he didn't get any rest for his body. He just stayed up all the time, just constantly stayed up. And the enemy stopped that revival. What's that mean? It means turn off the TV like around 4 in the morning at least. No. It might mean just cut some cable off. If that is drawing you constantly to the just keeping you awake, cut that stuff out. You'd be surprised how much time you have when you don't have that. Nehemiah 8:10 lets us know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want some strength in your life, you've got to bring some joy in your life. If all your time you're just sitting back and you're always serious and you're not, you know, I love to laugh. Laughter to me is just, I just love to laugh. I love to laugh loud, I love to laugh long, I just love it. And everybody else don't love that, but I love that. But it gives you strength.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow. I'm presently a student attending a community college, and I'm required to take a biology class for my degree. In the class, evolution is presented as the unifying theory of biology, and when test time comes, I'm going to be required to regurgitate this information back as if it's fact. Evolution can't be proven scientifically, and I'm wondering if I have any legal recourse such that I won't have to do that.
You're going to have to take the test. You don't get to opt out of the curriculum. This isn't a high school situation. They're allowed to teach a curriculum pursuant to their curriculum committees at the college. And you don't have to say, I believe that evolution is correct. If they were to come back and say, look, I'm requiring you to believe this, that would be a very different scenario and a very different question.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the Word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the Great Suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are, and the expectation of God that he has of us to increase the size of his family, his kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you, if you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share, and God wants to manifest his glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org. vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
I remember this one particular lady that came to the revival at Brownsville years ago when it first started. She came to make in front of the revival. And of course, everybody made in front of her when she fell on the floor and started rolling. Anyway, and God touched her. When God started to touch her, she was sitting on the floor, and she was kind of heavy, real heavy. And she began to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And the more she got prayed for, the more she laughed. And this is not something she wanted to do. She was coming to make fun of the manifestations of God, and she was the biggest manifestation there. And then afterwards, she was testifying that I just needed strength in my body. I needed strength. I needed energy. I was so under attack with those things that make you, they got all kinds of names for it. She just sat there and laughed for hours. And just strength just came into her body. Look to your neighbor and say, laugh a little bit more. Laugh a lot. I mean, laugh. If you hadn't laughed in a long time, you don't have much strength. There's nothing like laughing, is there? No, every single one said, amen, that's right. You need to laugh a little bit when you're a little too serious. What does that mean? That means if you really believe what God says, that you've been predestined and you have a purpose in your life and there's a destiny in your life and you're actually training up for something, that you're going to get peace in your life because he's the one that's leading you into this destiny. And the second thing you're going to do, you're going to get some strength and some energy and quit thinking that God's going to drop it in your lap. It matters what you're eating. It matters what you're doing. If you're not doing anything physically at all, your body is going to steal your destiny from you. I don't know, right? I'm serious. We've got to, every one of us, we've got to begin to focus on that. Because I want to go all the way. I want to be able to say, Greg and his generation fulfilled the purposes of God. I want to be able to say to the Lord, God, I brought glory. Father, I brought glory to you on earth because I completed all that you called me to do. It's so much easier to get that peace when you realize it's not for you, it's for your destiny. Because your destiny with God will have to do with affecting other people, not with yourself. And then it's so much easier to do something to get power in your life, to get energy, to not fall short of being able to push that baby out at the last moment when you realize you're not trying to get energy and do some sort of exercise or something just for you so you can look better. You're doing it because you want strength. You want to be able to pray for those 10 more people. You want to be able to go one more city, one more nation, one more thing. It changes your whole perspective. And the final part is purpose. If you were cornered right now and somebody had a gun at your head, could you even quote your purpose? Do you even know why you're here? Do you even know why you're here? Think about it. How are we ever going to get to the place we're supposed to be? We don't even know where we're going. Oh, yeah, you're busy, but like I said, if you had a gun at your head, could you even tell them where you were going, what you were doing? I'm trying to find myself. There you are, right there. If you're looking for something to live for, you first have to have something to die for. You're not you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You're not ready to live for anything until you're ready to die for something. I'm telling you, there's nothing that you're going to die for other than the purposes of God in your life. And there's nothing like it. You know, all these little artificial frilly things they have out there to be able to give people that little feeling. There's nothing like trusting God. You feel that all the time when you're stepping out in bold faith. John G. Lake was told this on the ship. He's about to step out in Africa. He says, the guy walks up. He had no money. The guy gives him some money. He says, listen, if God has told you to do something, step out in bold faith and God will meet you there every single time. Not bold reasoning. Bold faith, confidence in God. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Listen, before your feet even touched the ground, God had a purpose in mind for you. He had a destiny in mind for you. And he says, few people enter into the kingdom of God. Few people enter into that destiny, even though it's there, because they don't have this wisdom that I'm telling you about. They don't realize it's going to take some physical effort. It's going to take some endurance. It's going to take, when you don't feel like it, you still do it. When everything is coming in to steal your focus, you're writing it on the wall, you're writing it on a piece of paper, you're talking it so that people, when they know you by your purpose. In case you forget, they can tell you who you are. You want to be known by your purpose, your destiny. So he says, before your feet even touch the ground, that God was had your purpose and your destiny in mind for you. That's exciting. You know what? He's no favorite of persons. He will do that for anybody. He'll say, are you ready for your purpose to come out? Are you ready to move into your destiny? Begin to believe me. Begin to step out. 2 Samuel 7:3, Nehemiah tells King David, he says, go, do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you. When the Lord is with you, you just crank it up. Just let it rip. You don't need to consult with anybody. I mean, it's just in your heart. It's in your heart to do. When the Lord is with you and it lines up with the Word of God, and you know you're not deceived, because you can just look at the Word of God and find if you're deceived. If it didn't line up with the Word of God, you're wrong. Simple. It's not hard. You don't need a meeting with a pastor. If it says left and you're going right, you're wrong. Look at this. He said, do all that's in your heart to do because the Lord is with you. Listen, if the Lord is with you, let it rip. Just let it rip. Think about it. If like four people went out and went hog wild doing what God called them to do. Mother Teresa did. They still talking about her today. Right? Benny Hinn did. Catherine Kuhlman did. Oral Roberts did. A.A. Allen did. John Kilpatrick did. Are you just going to read about them? Or are you going to be somebody that steps out in your purpose? I don't know what to do. Listen, it's in your heart to do it. You keep looking for something else, but that thing you do naturally, as you begin to do it, it will begin to produce even more. And when you're found faithful in the little things, the few things, God will give you more things. It just grows and it just builds. Literally, I can tell you, and Pat can testify to it as we go out, every single step that we do things, there's a wall there. There's always a wall there. It's way beyond our intellect. It's way beyond our ability. But every time we just go to that wall and go boom, 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 it just busts through. Oh, you're just good at that. No, I just run into walls and trust God. Pastor John Kilpatrick will tell you, he bumped into the presence of God. It was by accident as he walked to the back of the church one night by himself and he was praying. He just bumped into the Holy Spirit. Why? He was just faithfully doing what he was called to do. Bam! Just happened. I don't know if I should trust my heart. Listen, Proverbs 29:11. Don't worry about it, because many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. I don't know. Listen, you're not, you know, I know you feel like you're in control, but you're really not. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans. Everybody say plans. The plans I have for you. What are you doing if you're not moving in the purposes and the destiny? God's got plans in mind for you. He's got all kinds of things in store for you. Listen, he may want to start working miracles and signs and wonders through you. He might want to raise you up to be able to adopt 10 or 20 children. He might want you to be a pastor of a church, an evangelist. He might want you to be a business person that has the ability to franchise 20 or 30 different stores or concepts. He may have to, you know, well, I don't know what it is. But God does, and before your feet hit the ground, he knew what it was. And it's in there, and the fear is keeping you from stepping out in it. But let me tell you something. If you'll start, not with purpose, but you'll start with peace, and you'll get some power, when that purpose is revealed to you, you'll have some peace that you're not fearful about it, and you have some power to be able to fulfill it in your life. He tells us in Habakkuk 2:2-3, he says, listen, he says, write down the vision, write down the purposes, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that you can herald it and you can run with it. Listen, this is how I always am. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've given you a vision. I've given you a purpose. Begin to write it down. Everywhere you go, if anybody hangs around me at all, you know I write it down. I put it on signs. I write it on TV commercials. I write it on radio commercials. I tell them, no, you cannot have that ad unless you say Malachi 4, 5, and 6 at the end of it. Why? Because that will not return void. I don't care what you said in the beginning of it, but at least put the word out. Everywhere you go, just begin to write your vision. Write your vision. And he says, write it down. Listen, he knows the plans he has for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What does that mean? Begin to trust that thing God's put inside of you. Begin to write it out and make it plain. He says, for this revelation, this purpose awaits for its appointed time. It speaks to the end and it won't prove false. And it will linger for a little while, but let me tell you something. It'll come to pass if you begin to move in it, because it's your destiny. It's your purpose. It's your unique purpose. It's not riding the coattails of somebody else's purpose. You may have a purpose inside of a purpose, that without that your purpose, it wouldn't come to pass. For example, a lung inside of a body has a purpose inside the heart with the other organs in the body. They all work together. We're one body. But without you moving in your function, it wouldn't work. One good example is I always talk to people not plugged into church. They sit there and say, well, you know, I went there and I just didn't know, so I've been out of church for like 90 days or something like that. I said, well, you're looking at it wrong. He said, each of us are different parts in the church. We're different parts. And you're just showing up to get something from that church. But he says some are lungs, some are hearts, some are whatever organs, some are eyes. He said, I said, what if you're a foot? And I'm not talking about they can get what you can get from them, but what they need from you. Maybe that ministry is walking with one foot because you won't follow the purposes of God in your life. Maybe they're limping along because they're waiting for that foot to arrive. And you say, well, you know, I just need a little bit longer. Maybe you're another lung, and maybe there are difficulties of breathing. It's just really tough. I got a new word. We always look at it from the wrong, you know, what can I get from this? But sometimes it's like, God, what do you want for me to be here? I have something inside of me that I need to deposit in what you're doing to fulfill your purposes in this life, in my life, the destiny that you have for me and have for what you're doing. And what we do when we begin to enter into that purpose and that destiny with the peace and the power to fulfill it, listen right here. In Colossians 3:23, he says, whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working unto the Lord. What does that mean? That means don't second guess it. Go take another class. Think about it a little bit more. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Listen, the Holy Spirit seems so confused compared to a lot of believers when they say, you know, he's always getting a new word. I know he gave me this word yesterday, but I got another one. Oh, Lord, are you that upset? That confused? No, he's not confused. God's not confused. God says it. He means it. He doesn't change his mind. Isn't that cool? God's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would what? Change his mind.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Also, if you're on the Gulf Coast, contact AB Mobile Mechanics. They're fast, friendly, and fair. They do everything from ACs to water pumps. Give them a call today. Also on the Gulf Coast, ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. All of your security and monitoring needs, give them a call today. Secure that home and that business. And if you're in Mobile, Alabama, contact Stephen Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop. Listen, no job is too big, no job is too small. Contact them today and visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right, the VFN radio program. Just that you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us. VFN Radio taking place. We are so excited about it.
Welcome to the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Join us today. Hello to the Christian Television Network audience out there. Join us is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Let's pick up where we left off.
And so when you find that purpose, what God has put inside of you, begin to work it. Work it with all of your heart, with all of your strength, working unto the Lord, not unto men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Isn't that awesome? A great reward from God. Not from man. Men won't reward you. Men will shoot you down. If you start moving in your destiny, people just line up and say, oh, by the way, I hate you. I don't like you. I'm leaving you. It's over. Bang. Boosh, all that kind of stuff. But your reward from God is awesome. If you're looking to man to give you a reward, you know, it just don't work. But God, he says, listen, he said, Hebrews 11:6, he says, God rewards those who diligently seek him, who diligently begin to seek their destiny and move in their purposes in God. Peace, power, and purpose will propel you into your destiny. You don't leave that place until you get peace. I don't care what they say, because they'll be beating on your doors trying to come in there. But listen, they don't want you without peace anyway. They don't. Get your peace. Begin to do something. I don't care if it's like you get up in the morning and you do some neat bins. I mean, I don't care what it is. Just something that you're actually showing some effort towards God, and God will supernaturally touch your body and begin to give you strength. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's just something that you're saying, God, I want strength for the purposes in my life. I want some energy in my life. I want some endurance in my life. God, I don't want to miss out on praying for 10 more people just because I did whatever or didn't do whatever. And it will propel you into your destiny. What does that mean? That means you start every single day on purpose. Not by accident or because it's Monday and I got to start it. No, you start it on purpose. That means when you sit down and you begin to define your day because you've already got your peace, you've already done something in your life to be able to give you some strength, you don't leave that place, that planning place, till you begin to make your plan and make it plain, right? Write your vision, make it plain. Write it on paper so you can herald it. If you can't stay where you're going, nobody else can either. If you call yourself a leader and nobody's following, you're just merely taking a walk. So that means when you start that Monday, when you walk out of that planning area, when you sat down and you took some notes, maybe you have a planner and you wrote some things in your planner, you know where you're going that day. You know what you're going to accomplish. And you're going to find out what matters most in your life, and that's what you're going to do that day. But let me tell you something. If you jump out of your bed, you throw your clothes on, and you run out of that house without peace, without power, without purpose, you're a devil's puppet. He's going to have a heyday on you, and he might even use you to have a heyday on somebody else. But because you have your peace, and because you have your power, and because you know your purpose, your peace and your power will propel you into your destiny. That's how simple it is. It's that simple. Listen, if you start your day without peace, but you did something physically for power and purpose, I don't care what you accomplish in life, if you ain't got peace, it's miserable. It's just miserable. It really is. But if you got your peace, but you don't have power, but you know your purpose, you're miserable. You're just worn out. You're looking at this awesome goal at the end of this rainbow, and you don't have a physical enough strength to birth that baby and bring that ministry or that business out. You're just worn slap out. And if you have peace and you have power, which a lot of believers have that, but they're doing nothing with their life. They don't have any purpose, no vision. And I heard, without vision, you die. That's what it says. The Word of God says, without vision, you perish. But somehow we take that out. He says, you die without vision. The church doesn't have vision. Their vision is like a Sunday school class, or their vision is just another lesson, another thing to be taught. But God's vision is to literally to conquer the enemy's kingdom and to take it by force and to begin to free people from the grave and begin to wake up sleeping, sluggard, slothful men that the enemy has literally hampered and pulled them out of the places of the home because they're with the strong men that the enemy's trying to bind to rob that entire household. That's what God wants to do, stuff like that. Without vision, you die. Even with peace, even with power, you can be looking like Hercules, and you can die because you don't even know where you're going. There's an awesome book out right now called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. I encourage you to get the book and begin to read that over a 40-day period. It begins to every day has a little bit of reading for every single day. It's just little short readings. By the end of that 40-day period, it probably changed your life. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. And what an awesome thing, if everybody even listening to this, that you would take this and say, listen, stop it. Knock it off. Quit it. Stop doing all these excuses and justifications for not moving and what God has called you to do. And begin to believe God. Listen, whatever you're doing is what you're believing. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. Say that. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. James said that. He said, faith without works is dead. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. If you want to find out what you believe, look what you've been doing. If you believe that your job is it, that's what you're doing. That's it. I got to go to work. Well, that's what you believe. You believe that your job is it. And it might be it for you. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. Do you know what? If you'll just believe God, for fulfilling that destiny, that purpose in your life, you'd be surprised what would happen. I mean, this is exciting stuff. It really is. Imagine starting your every day on purpose. Every day, you started on purpose. Every week, you started on purpose. Listen, our entire life is summed up by two simple dates on a tombstone. The day you're born, the day you die. Everything happens in between that. David knew what it took to fulfill the purposes of God and his generation during that timeline. Most people don't. Most people just justify why we're not going to. But I want to be one that says, God, I've completed the work that you give me. I've completed the work. I fulfilled the call. I don't care. I mean, the calls are huge, by the way. They're very huge. But it doesn't matter anymore. When you got the peace, it just doesn't matter anymore. You're doing it for the Father.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham that's reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States. Because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you, so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Join us today. Hello to the Christian Television Network audience out there. Join us is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I'm just really encouraged as we're going to get to share about, you know, some abiding moments. And, you know, Pat, what's God laying on your heart, man?
Well, I was reading in Galatians this morning, and I know you guys probably don't have any issues with this at all. I mean, you guys are perfect.
Probably not.
But I was reading Galatians.
Only you.
It says... He says, you, my brothers, you are called to be free, but not you. Do not use your freedom to indulge in your sinful nature. He says, rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, you know, what jumped out to me was, you know, he says, you know, the entire law is summed up in this entire one thing: to love one another.
Wow.
You know, and I'm obviously.
What about the other stuff, Todd?
The other things don't count,
right? Come on.
What about the other stuff I do?
Yeah, I work so hard for you. Yeah. Some people just get in my way.
I know, right? I know. Anyway, we won't talk about him. He says, "It's, you know, I love God, but man, these people I just can't stand." You know, and later on in that scripture, he talks about, you know, what the fruit of the Spirit is.
You don't say that. It's actually other people. You're quoting somebody else, right?
It was somebody else.
Yeah, okay.
It was somebody else.
And you love people.
Of course I love people.
He's a all very, he is more loving today than he was before he got saved. It's amazing, his transformation.
Yes,
I mean, if you knew how he didn't love before he was saved. A long story, won't go there.
Absolutely.
He's like,
well, one day we can.
That's going to be, that's very good. We need to definitely take notes for that. We need to bring that up. That's,
yes, we did.
It's a beautiful transition.
Anyway.
Manya.
Oh my God.
Okay, back. Come back. Come back.
But the testing of your faith. Perseverance. But, you know, of course, the fruit of the Spirit, obviously the main one is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self control.
That's your resume, isn't it?
Of course.
Of course.
And Jesus says, he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciple if you love one another.
It's not your Jesus pen then?
No. And it's not a suggestion. He said this is a command.
What about if you have a bumper sticker and a Jesus pen? All right. What if you attend church, your church gathering like 20 times a week?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
You mean that you got to love? You got to love somebody?
It's not the Jesus pen.
It's not the Jesus pen, man. I wasted all that money.
So obviously, you know, love is pretty important in God's kingdom. Yeah. He's very serious about it. Matter of fact, he says it's a command. It's not a suggestion.
Then he even says that he is love.
And he is love, correct.
So if we don't love, we don't God.
So, well, what is this love thing? You know, and I know what it is. You know, God tells you what it is. You know, he says it's love is patient. Am I patient?
That's John.
Although John's patient, he's got the gift.
He's very patient.
He was telling me about it this morning.
As he's saying, hurry up.
Love is kind.
Bullet points. Like, right. I'm just trying to put your eggs on the plate. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, right. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. Not easily angered. Anyway. Keeps no record of wrongs. Does not delight in evil.
Do you remember the time?
So, you know, I'm like, okay, God, I understand. I need to work on this because I haven't.
Which one?
All of them. All of them.
Ooh, my goodness.
And what it boils down to is, you know, love has nothing to do with self. It's not this ooey gooey feeling. It's actually a verb. It's something that you do. Oh, and it has nothing to do with you, believe it or not.
Isn't that amazing?
Totally amazing.
Because this is one of the signs of the end days, that men will be lovers of themselves.
Absolutely.
Rather than lovers of others or lovers of God, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that their love will grow cold.
Cold when it comes to others.
That's right. And you know, I remember we talked about this a few weeks ago about, you know, we can get so caught up in our day-to-day lives that, you know, because we're so busy, we got this, I got that to do, and we forget about relationships and how important that is. But yet, God, I love you. Look what I'm doing. You know, all this stuff.
Check. Yeah,
check.
But oh, yeah. I love y'all. Check.
But love wasn't on the top of my list, apparently.
Right.
And
God wasn't on top of your list?
It's the word of God. That's what it says.
It. Oh, we call God it.
No, that's what the word of God, it, not God.
Isn't he love?
Help me out. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and you're right. God is love, and we can't say we love God, but we don't love our brothers. God calls you a liar. And
wow,
which that's a pretty serious charge.
Being called a liar by God is huge.
And he said it several times. You know, it's a command. He even says it in 1 John.
Ooh.
So obviously God's saying love to me, because I know that's obviously, it's not my love, but it needs to be more of a priority. You know, you got to take the time, you got to put yourself aside You know, that's the only way it's going to happen is you got to be thinking about others other than yourself.
Yeah.
The two don't go together.
And part of the greatest form of love is focusing on the other person.
Exactly.
At the risk of forgetting about yourself.
Exactly. Mm. And that's what it takes.
It does.
You can't be thinking about yourself and others too. They just don't mix.
And part of healing me
is hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you know, listening to somebody. And what's so cool is that the enemy tries to take that and put that as a low priority. And it's not that important. But once you put it where it really belongs, at the very top of God's priority, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus would come around and say, what can I do for you?
All right.
You know, and he would listen to them and they would share their pain. My daughter, myself, my son, you know, this is going on, that's going on. And he would move in that aspect of it.
Right. He was moved with compassion.
He was moved with compassion. And if we don't ever listen to someone, then we don't have compassion, because compassion is empathizing with somebody.
Right.
Feeling their pain, but then doing something about it. Mm-hmm. And what happens if we don't listen, then we just kind of like do something out of our head. This is what goes next. It's like, but you're not connecting with me. And, and part of it. It's so cool though, because we can do it. It's just, we got to say everything else we thought was important is not as important as what we thought wasn't important.
All right. It's all about priorities.
And spending time with people, you know, putting your hand on somebody's shoulder and looking them in the eye. And saying what's going on, you know, taking them out to lunch, maybe.
Yeah.
Getting out of task mode.
Yeah. Flying up and visiting a friend up north, you know, doing something like right. Love.
Or coming down to the beaches and the golf or something of that nature.
Yeah.
It's funny you're saying.
Was all self-interested love.
Right? Yeah, right.
I guess he's not going to take me to lunch.
I guess that's out of the question.
But, you know, it's amazing how we can not, you know, you're saying, you know, love is should be on the forefront, but it's amazing how these things open up to different areas. I was actually, you know, reading the word, and
I got to say something. You know, Chris is totally involved in what he's going to say. He's not even listening to us.
He's
looking at his notes. he's nowhere near his mic. Like, he's going to say something. Like, he's involved in our conversation. I'm feeling kind of, you know, just a little unheard.
I'm not feeling love
right
now. I'm
not feeling the love right now. I want him to, you know.
Well, Chris,
I love you, man.
Okay. There you go. Check.
Check. Got it. I was reading in Psalms, and I thought this was really good. Psalms 19, verses 12 to 13. It says, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant from sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. And it's like, wow, you know, case in point, could forgive me for not loving, you know, Lord, because you can get so caught up thinking that you're loving or you're doing things the right way, the way God wants you to do them. And you realize when you really, you know, take a view of your life and in your heart, you realize, wait a second, where is the love? Where is love? Which just really underscores the importance of what we've been talking about for a long time on the radio program, which is an abiding relationship with the Lord. And the importance for the church as family. You know what I'm saying? Who can discern his errors? Jeremiah says, 17:9, that our heart's deceitfully wicked. No man can know it. But as believers, we're called to grow in God. We're called to have a relationship with the Lord. We're called to grow in maturity. We're not supposed to be stagnant and just, oh, humdrum or lukewarm.
Right.
We're supposed to be hot for God and grow with God.
Right.
And you think about it, only 19% are actually reading the Word of God.
Yeah.
How are they ever going to discern their errors?
Right. And only 3% of those are concerned about what it actually says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all according to George Barna. Yeah. Well, you think about even the Lord, when he taught us how to pray, he says, and Lord, forgive everyone else. He says, this is how we're supposed to pray. Lord, forgive me like I forgive others.
That's right.
Think about that. Lord, love me the way I love others. And it quite often is, you know, that we perceive God loves us the way we love others.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves us despite us. Mm-hmm. But we define his love by how we love.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense? Mm-hmm. You know, how we think, we think through our own mind. We're using our own mind as a mold of God's love. And it's like, no, he is love. He's awesome. And while we were yet sinners, he loved us. But we define, I mean, you can have a parent that's loving a child. But the child says, I don't feel love. It's like, you know, what else can we do? I mean, you know, and you're pouring everything in your children, but they can perceive it. They can believe a lie. Yep. And we can believe a lie about that. And yeah, it's good, man. Love.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Very important.
So we'll just be watching you walk this out. And we're excited about it. And I'm sure there's some listeners out there, you know, that so I guess that means instead of saying come to the north, they're going to send a ticket down to bring me up.
Right.
And I'm looking for, that's what we're all looking for is love, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't know the Lord. We were looking to find fulfillment in anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, even in drugs, right?
Right.
Okay, Chris came to the mic for that one there.
He woke up.
So, I mean, think about it. So, I mean, what's God laying on your heart, John? I mean, that's awesome, Pat, you know, what you're sharing there, and it's so true. And we all need help in that in those areas. And as long as we're here on this earth, we're going to be challenged in the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In love, you know. And, you know, love keeps no records of wrongs. And that includes, by the way, keeping no records of your own wrongs. Because if you've asked God to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, he does it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so part of loving God is letting go of what he let go of.
Mm. Sometimes it's even harder at times.
Yeah. But part of loving God is trusting his word to be true.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. and sometimes, a lot of times, people are not hating on you. They're hating on themselves, and you're just getting caught in a downwind. Of their self-hate.
Right.
And they're not, you know, they're just hating themselves. They're, you know, self-haters. And if we're made in the image and the likeness of God, and God, if we've made things right with the Lord, then we got to say, it's right. I'm going to live my life as a forgiven man, forgiven woman, and I'm in right standing with God, and walk around with your head up and your shoulders up and confident in faith that God has set you free.
We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses, we even have a map. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits in Pensacola. Oh my goodness, a wonderful meal to go. Also, Cordova Lanes. The weather's changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in. Sign the kids up for the league. It's time to bowl. Also in Pensacola, Glenn Parker, Alan Turner Hyundai. Buying a car is an important decision. You want to buy from someone you trust. You get a car, you can get a Bible in your glove compartment. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone whether you get your emails on your tablet or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.